The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. MLK. Hello and welcome to episode 1 of I'm Just Saying. I just want to take a minute to recognize that we are in an extremely difficult time in history. Obviously, we have our worldwide health issues, food security, gender and racial equality, global warming, and ocean conservation, along with many others. But tonight, I want to talk to the ever-growing drug problem we have in this world, and why I believe it to be a mental health issue, not a criminal one. A problem that saw its biggest overdose stretch in a 12-month period ever in 2020, with 81,230 people, human beings, people that, for some reason, quite frankly, get treated lower than dirt. People choose to believe that everyday drug users are the scum of the earth and don't deserve to even breathe on this planet. Now, I personally have a bone to pick with that. And in all honesty, most of these people just don't understand drug use and never will unless they understand the nightmare themselves. I also understand that there might be quite a lot of listeners out there that will disagree with what I'm about to say. But I also know there are plenty of recovering addicts just like me out there, plenty of people in active addiction still that will agree with me. I'm just saying. Also, before I get started, I just wanted to say, if you are in active addiction still and you happen to be listening to this podcast and you feel like nobody understands or cares about your situation, just know you're not alone. And no, this won't be a podcast that shoves higher power down your throat or judges you on your past mistakes, even though, yes, I do believe in God and I do believe He helped me. But what worked for me might not work for you. I'm just saying. So, if you like what you're listening to, please comment and subscribe so we can keep this party going. Now, I want to start saying that using drugs for 10 years was not by choice. I want to say that one more time. It was not by choice. I was introduced to pain medications at a very young age by a doctor that, in my opinion, should have been labeled a drug dealer. At age 12 years old, I was given my first pain pill, and for the first time, I felt absolutely invincible. This doctor happened to be lenient with how he dispersed his prescriptions. So by the time I was 16, I was using over 100 milligrams of oxycodone a day. By the time I was 18, I had moved on to heroin. I had already been expelled from one school for drug possession, and I had been held hostage in a drug deal gone bad. I had gone from a promising career in baseball, living a normal, everyday, middle-class life, to not even existing. I had lived on the streets of both Columbus, Ohio, and British Columbia, Canada. I've held basically every job imaginable, and lived the fast life for the majority of the puberty to young adult life. I've been told that I have basically an 80-year-old's mind and a 29-year-old's body with all the life experiences I've had. On March 30th, 2021, I will have 8 years clean. Now, this next part is what I believe to be the truth, and I only go based on my experiences and research. When I was spending my 4 month stay at a facility in Florida called the Florida House, which, shout out to the Florida House, if anybody's out there looking for a facility to get into, they sponsor you and they will fly you in and out. If you don't live in state in Florida, they will fly you to Florida and back. If you don't have insurance, or if your insurance will only pay for part of it, if you go there and you complete their program, they will actually pay and take care of all of your bill. So it basically gives you no excuses. Anyways, I was spending my 4 month stint there, and there was a class that I took that taught us about our disease. And make no mistake, the drug problem in the United States is a health and mental crisis. and in this class, I learned something interesting. Say the normal human brain, you have three major basic instincts: food, water, and shelter. And self-procreating. So no matter what, your brain is hardwired that you need those things to survive. And normally, your brain goes in order, food and water is number one, shelter is number two, self-procreating is number three, it goes down the line. So when you're in active addiction, your brain re-scrambles them, and with now your drug being at the top. And then it now dictates how you make choices. So you no longer wake up thinking, I need food or water as number one. You're waking up thinking, I need my drug of choice or I'm going to die. And if you don't, you definitely feel like you're going to die. And some, you actually can die. If you don't get your drug of choice, it can cause seizures and you can die from that. Look, I know better than most that addicts are not easy to love. And a lot of the times, they don't deserve your help at all. But the last time I checked, we were all flawed, and I believe we're created that way for a reason. I honestly believe that there are flaws that make us unique. It's our hardship that helps mold our path, our purpose. Life has a funny way of lighting up our path. We just have to be the ones to choose to open up our eyes. So in learning this, and also learning that roughly 75% of the other addicts that I had met in and out of rehab started out how I had, with being overprescribed, or being taught at a very young and impressionable age how to use drugs, and then we're held accountable for the rest of our life for those decisions, but I'm not gonna go there. We need to, now more than ever, have compassion and warmth for those in need of it. Sometimes we all get lost and caught up in our own worlds and troubles, and can start to learn how to forget. It can always be worse. I'm now calling on my audience to please commit, comment, follow, subscribe, and kill today. I'm just saying. Peace.